Urgent.
Up, please. Prepare to dive.
PX4 calling control tower. PX4 calling control tower. Standing by.
Control tower back to PX4. Wind 12 feet. Chilling 12
foot
fan. All clear.
Okay. This is Hop Harrigan coming in. Yes, it's American Ace of the Airways. Coming in for another transcribed episode in the adventures of Hop Harrigan.
Gang, you all know that way up there in the clouds, there are no street signs, no names of cities or states, nor any brightly lettered placards reading this way home. I don't have to tell you how important accuracy is in air navigation. Less than a year ago, a small black instrument that looked like a flashlight was introduced to aviation and was immediately hailed by electrical engineers as the most significant advance in compass design since the invention of the magnetic needle. This little device, hardly bigger than your hand, took research scientists from the Minneapolis Honeywell Regulator Company many years to develop. It's an electron gun compass, and because it represents the first time that cathode rays have been harnessed to perform useful work out of the laboratory, it's called a cathetrol. It's a specially designed vacuum tube in which an electron gun shoots billions of electrons at the rate of 20,000 per second onto four individually wired metal plates that are so adjusted to the Earth's magnetism that it will always give the pilot an absolutely accurate indication of true north. The main reason this little gadget is so important is that it has as its slave the automatic pilot. Without the electron gun compass, even the automatic pilot needs watching, because the Earth, revolving on its axis, keeps moving its magnetic north pole, too. In a few minutes, I'll tell you about some really spectacular uses of the electron gun compass and describe its amazingly simple mechanism to you in more detail. So, don't forget to listen. And now for our story. Fighting off Tex Regan's machine gun attack on their overloaded beach craft, and eventually outdistancing him completely, Hop and Tank flew Dixie Davenport to a hospital in Barstow, where she underwent an immediate operation. After an anxious 2 hours, they finally learned she was out of danger and would definitely recover. Now, later that same morning, we find the boys in the movie star's room, bringing her up to date on what has happened.
When Tank and Mr. Ivanov dragged us out of the ranch house, Dixie, you'd already passed out from the smoke.
Oh, Hop, I hate to think about it. It was awful.
As I know. But look, what about you? How do you feel?
Rather weak. I'll have to stay here for a while.
Well, that'll queer the picture.
Oh, no. Ivan will shoot around me and use my stand-in for long shots. He'll keep you two very busy.
We gotta do something else.
What? Oh, Hop, you're not leaving the picture. You can't.
Dixie, we've got to find Tex Regan and Joe Bell before they cause more trouble. Besides, we owe them plenty, and I want to start paying off.
But how can you find them? They must be miles away by now.
I doubt it. There are two very good reasons for them to stick around. One, the $50,000 in the Barstow Bank. Remember, Tex still has that letter of yours.
We already called the president and told him to sing out when Tex shows up.
And the other reason?
Sequoia. He's still loose in the valley.
Oh. I'm so glad you haven't forgotten him. I didn't want to say anything because you've done so much, but I'm so terribly worried about him.
Oh, he can take care of himself. Don't worry.
Promise you won't let anything happen to him. Promise.
Oh, we promise. Now, don't think about it, Dixie.
All right, I won't, but let me know as soon as you catch him.
Sure, sure. Now, stop worrying, will you? See the doctor. He said we can only stay a few minutes.
Yeah, we don't want to tire you out.
Dixie, darling! Oh, Ivan!
Oh, now the roof comes off.
Dixie, darling, you are looking beautiful. Simply ravishing. A motion picture of good health.
Oh, thank you, Ivan. Thank you.
Mr. Harrigan, Mr. Tinker. Hello.
Hi. Afternoon, sir.
Sit down, Ivan, won't you? No. Over here, near me.
Wait till you see what Ivan brought you. Mr. Ivan is coming, sir.
Go right in, boy.
Oh! Ma!
Why, Ivan, how beautiful.
Oh, for Jenny's, he must have bought out a whole flower shop.
See? All for you, Dixie. Roses by the bushes, orchids, gardenias, Crazy Enderman, everything, all for my Dixie darling.
Oh, Ivan, you're sweet.
Oh, Mr. Ivanov, the flowers won't fit into the room. Oh, dear.
So hire another room. Dixie must have his flowers.
Ivan, wait a minute. The children's ward is down at the end of the hall. Send the overflow there.
Ah, my so generous Dixie. Always she thinks of others. Mr. Ivan, you hear?
Yes, sir. This way, boy.
And if there is not enough for the children, buy more. Buy flowers for everybody.
Yes, sir.
Boy, oh boy, you sure do things in a big way.
Of course, nothing is too small for Ivanov.
Ivan, do you have a cold?
No, please not to worry, your pretty head. These flowers, they always give me a strong fever.
Dixie, I think we better get going.
Oh, no, Hop, not you.
For where you go and where you go?
We got a job to do.
You have nothing to do except by my orders, Mr. Tinker.
But, sir, Tex Regan and Joe Bell are still free.
We take care of Tex Regan later. Now we have the movie picture to finish. You come back to location camp with me.
We'll be wasting time.
No one wastes time with Ivanov. When you hear from Mr. Regan, I let you go. But not 2 minutes before. So now, back to camp. Ivanov is spoken.
Realizing that further protest will be completely useless, Hop and Tank shrug their shoulders and settle back to await the explosive director's pleasure. In 15 minutes, he concludes his visit, and they head back for location. Early that same afternoon, Hop and Tank are on the set, ready to shoot another scene. Ivan Ivanov, as usual, is roaring at his crew.
I'm getting awful fed up with all this stuff. I think this is our last scene, and in the meantime, Captain Joe will get the 50,000, and we'll never see him again.
Well, the president of the bank promised to call us, you know.
Yeah, but how? Well.
So now, Mr. Arrigan, Mr. Peter, you are ready?
Yes, sir. Yeah, but what for? He didn't give us no lines to read.
Lines you will not have, Mr. Tinker. In this scene, you sing.
I what?
You are deaf, Mr. Tinker. I said you sing.
I don't know how.
Ivanov will show you how.
Oh, this is not loud. I don't want to sing.
So now listen with all ears. Oh, give me a horn where the butterflies run.
Buffaloes, Mr. Ivanov.
Mr. Peabody, you're making a comment, perhaps?
The words of the song are not butterflies.
Buffaloes. Go and sniffle them out. Come, Mr. Tinker, get out.
With that?
No. You think I sing to entertain you? Of course with that. With me now. One, two,
four. Give me a home. Where the buffalo roam.
Mr. Tinker.
Yeah?
That is singing?
What's the matter with it?
I give you mouthwash. You guard it at the same time.
Now, wait a minute.
We try the second line. Maybe it will sound better. Right. Please to read the words and sing with me. Where the deer?
Where the deer?
And the cantaloupe?
And the cantaloupe play?
Mr. Tinker.
What now?
Are you with me or against me?
I'm singing like you told me to.
Singing, it says. I have heard better voices calling Pete.
Doggone, I never said I was a singer. Get somebody else to sing.
Yeah, get hot.
Oh, no, leave me out of this.
Mr. Tinker, I want you to sing. Now we try the next line. Where Sheldon is heard, and star is
Mr. Ivanov.
Mr. Peabody, what do you all the time interrupt?
Well, I'm sorry, sir, but I have a very important message for Mr. Harrigan.
Oh, what is it?
Mr. Chambers of the Barstow Bank just called. He said Mr. Regan is there now to get the money.
Oh, baby.
Well, tell him to stall Regan as long as he can. We'll be right there.
But Mr. Harrigan, my picture. What about my picture?
I'm sorry, sir. This is more important. Come on.
You cannot do this to me.
Just watch it.
If you want somebody to sing, Mr. Ivanov, we'll bring Tex Regan back with us. And by the time we're through with him, he'll sing play. Let's go, Hop.
Leaving Ivanov waving his arms in frustration, Hop and Tank rush off the movie set, and without even bothering to remove the makeup from their faces, race down to their beach craft, gassed up and waiting on the landing strip. Gang, you won't want to miss the exciting climax of today's episode, so stand by. All of you have seen an electric burner plate on an electric stove. Well, if you coated that plate with barium oxide, which is a white powder, and heated it, billions of electrons would boil from the surface. Set this barium oxide-coated plate into a vacuum tube, and you have the main construction of the electron gun compass. The electrons shoot each of the four target plates, where a sensitive electronic amplifier measures the difference between currents on each of the plates and translates this difference into energy sufficiently powerful to move the compass indicator, keeping it at true north, and so keeps the autopilot under control. Because the compass measures the intensity of magnetic pull as well as direction, it will be used in prospecting for oil, ores, and other materials beneath the Earth's surface. In war, the compass offers a new method of detecting submarines or undersea mines. This application of the electron gun compass is almost as exciting as its peacetime uses in directing aviation flight. What happens is this. Submarines, because of all the metal equipment they carry, cast out magnetic waves. So do undersea mines. The compass is so sensitive that it picks up these waves instantaneously, and a pilot looking for these objectives can yell Eureka and immediately radio his home base and give the exact location of the disturbance. At the moment, though, because the instrument is so new, only Army experimental planes are using it. But the time will come when every plane will have this important aid to navigation. So, in case you're one of those people who gets lost when you wander away from home, well, just take to the air and let the electron gun compass and its slave, the automatic pilot, guide you. And always remember, fellas and girls, America needs flyers! And now, back to our story. Throttle wide open, Hoff and Tank raced to Barstow, covering the distance in a little more than 20 minutes. But when they arrived at the bank, Tex Regan was nowhere to be seen. The bank president, Mr. Chambers, hastened to explain.
I'm sorry, Mr. Harrigan. I tried to hold him here, but he grew suspicious. I had no way of stopping him.
I see. Well, how long ago did he leave?
Oh, about 50 minutes, no more. Called the police immediately. They're looking for him now.
Good. Was anyone with him?
Well, he came into the bank alone, but there was someone waiting for him outside.
Joe Belt.
I was watching them through that window. Heard them say something about a horse.
It's a quarter. Uh-huh. Possibility number two.
Oh, excuse me, gentlemen.
Oh, of course.
Yes? Oh. Yes, Sergeant.
What do we do now? Well, this lead is shot. That's a cinch. Sure. Regan won't come back here. Yes,
and Mr. Harrigan.
Yes, sir.
That was the police sergeant. He said he traced your man to the airfield where he took off in a twin-engine plane.
Oh, great. Now we've lost him for good. They'll still go after Sequoia, I'm sure. Come on, Tank. We're going to the Hidden Valley.
It's just over that next bridge, Hops. We made good time.
Watch for the transport. Unless I'm way off the beam, it should be on the landing strip near the ranch house.
You really think Regan and Joel will try to get Sequoia?
I think they'll try anything. They're desperate. They'll try to get us and Dixie, too. And the best way to do that is
kill the horse. Gosh, that'll just about kill her.
I'm going over the ridge. Heads up.
Hey, look, if they are down there, they'll hear our engine.
Not now, they won't.
You cut the switch.
Don't worry. There'll be a strong updraft along the side of the ridge.
Ah, you feel it?
Uh-huh.
Hey, look, there's the transport. Tex and Joe are down there.
That's fine.
So, what do we do about it? Go back and get the car?
Are you kidding?
Well, I'd kind of like to handle this myself.
We will, pal. We will. Stand by. Going in for a landing.
Taking advantage of each wind current, Hop guides the beach carefully down into the valley and then lines up for the strip for a landing. This is the showdown. Both boys are eager for the coming scrap, but they're unaware that, in spite of their precautions, Tex and Joe have seen them, and at this very minute are crouched in the cover of a clump of trees near the burned framework of the ranch house, waiting for them. Gang, this adventure reaches a smashing climax in our next action-packed episode, so don't miss it. Tune in and fly with Hop Harrigan, America's ace of the airwaves. So long, Hop. We'll be seeing you same time, same usual station. Hop Harrigan is a transcribed copyrighted feature appearing in All American Comics magazine.